Y'all ready for today? You are the faithful ones. I like that. See, sometimes when I leave, if I go out of town, I'll make sure I leave after church because I need to get my Sunday dose. You got your Bibles, open up to the book of James. The book of James. It's important that we have authority first. We have to get authority. That authority only comes from Jesus. Amen. We don't go off of our feelings and emotions. You know, our emotions are they're God-given. Anger is an emotion, but, you know, the Bible tells us not to get angry and sin. It says, be angry, but do not sin. And some people think that, you know, being angry is sinful. It's not. That's an emotion. It was given to you by God. Just like anxiety or anything else, it's not sinful. Jesus was anxious, but he didn't sin. He was saying, take this cup from me. But he still went on with God's will, with the Father's will. James 1:13 says here, when you are tempted, don't ever say, God is tempting me, for God is incapable of being tempted by evil, and he is never the source of temptation. God isn't the source of your problems. And people will say, God did this, God was doing that, God was teaching me, God was saying this, God. And it's all attributed to the negative stuff. God wasn't doing all of that. God is not the source of all your problems. You're the one that is being tempted, not God. God will test you, but he will not tempt you. And even if he does test you, it's not going to be something to the point to where he's doing something evil in your life. Like Jesus, there was a test for Judas at the sense, you know, it was this character flaw that helped him, that kept him from stealing from the treasury. It wasn't Jesus tempting him and telling Peter, hey, tempt Peter, tempt Judas to go take this money. He didn't do all of that. But in a new covenant, Jesus didn't really test him, but he just put charge. It's your character. People will use God's test of Abraham and try to do it today to see if people can stand the test of time, like long suffering. You know, just because the word suffering is in there doesn't mean that that's what you're supposed to be doing. It's suffering in that sense. Long suffering is just basically patiently waiting in faith while what you believe in God to manifest in your life. That's what it means. Long suffering. Not with God has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Jesus has already became that curse for you. So long suffering, just patiently waiting. So when people are saying you need to suffer, then secretly they're going to be the ones who try to make you suffer in that. Well, you need to suffer. Some people need to suffer through this. No, that's not the case. There are things that God has redeemed you from. You don't need to suffer from. Come down here because I like it better. Telling someone no is not suffering or abuse. Some people think it's wrong to tell other people wrong. No, no. Saying the word no is a good thing in your life. Some people just can't handle the word no because they've been raised, don't take no for an answer. And so they think they need to hound and hound and hound and press and pester and do all of that stuff because they can't take the word no. That is not abuse. That is not suffering. Sometimes you're going to have to learn to take because you can't cross people's boundaries. And if you do, repent. He says, forgive us of our trespasses. If you trespass against someone on their own, on their property, that's your fault. Oh, I didn't see the sign. You seen 15 different signs before you crossed. You just wanted to cross because that's what you do. God is nowhere in that because God is trying to gaslight you. He's not trying to do all that. The enemy will all day long if you listen to it. Verse 14, it says, instead, it is each person's own desires and thoughts that drag them into evil and lure them away into darkness. Evil desires give birth to evil actions. And when sin is fully matured, it can murder you. When sin is fully matured, it can murder you. Your own thoughts and your own desires will drag you into doing evil. Listening to the wrong voice. The wrong people will have you drag, will drag you into doing evil. And don't allow people to make you feel bad for saying no to them. It's okay. Tell them they're going to have to get comfortable with the word no. You know, if somebody, someone came and sold you a product and just off the streets, you know, sometimes when you go to Walmart, I know out in California, they'll try to sell you some perfume, some knockoff stuff and everything else. And, you know, hey, you want, you get it. And the next thing you know, nah, it never happened to me, but I'm just hypothetical. You begin to spray it on and all of a sudden you just break out in a rash. Because it wasn't what they were selling, right? And then you see them again, and then they don't want to give you your money back. Hey, buyer beware. So they don't give you your money back, and now you got this rash and everything else. You got to put ointment on and all that stuff. And then later on, you see them again 6 months later, and then they're trying to sell you something again. You know good and well, just because you remember, and you probably forgave them already, but just because you remember doesn't mean you hate them. Doesn't mean you're in anger. Doesn't mean that you're in sin. Oh, they just said no to me. They don't want this. No, no, no. It just means that you're not going to buy that product from them again because it's a cheap product. So you don't ever have to feel guilty about saying no to people who can't take no for an answer. If they can't respect your boundaries, tough. Tough noogies. If they can't respect it, tough. They're going to have to get over it. I say no all day long. No, the answer is and always will be no. You got to get used to that. And so if you tell people no, the very next thing they do is smear campaign. All the time, like clockwork. People get tired of that, but I don't because I'm going to say no. So this is their response to your old tantrum. They get told no. You got to be able to say no. If people can handle that, they got to grow up. Was Judas' sin fully matured? What sin? When sin is fully mature, it can murder you. Judas' sin was fully matured. He decided that in his heart to do wrong to Jesus. And so it ended up taking his own life. When a person is living in darkness, they do tons of evil to others. They can't stop unless you put a stop to it. Cast that demon out if you need to. There's some people running around with demons, and they're okay with that. You do have that authority because you've submitted yourself to Jesus if you believe in that stuff. We believe in it. We teach in it. We believe in casting out demons. We believe in commanding sickness to leave. We believe in all of that stuff because that's biblical. That's in Mark 16. Jesus did it. You should do it. So I'm not going to get upset if you're doing those types of things. You can't cast anything out unless you're submitted and believe in the name of Jesus. Some people believe you have to be submitted to them in order to have authority here on earth. They didn't die for you. Jesus did. Well, you need to be submitted to me in order for you to have authority here on earth. Jesus already commanded everybody to do that. The Great Commission. We're supposed to be living like sent ones. He's already commanded people to go out and do that. So how am I going to oppress you to stop doing that? No, you can't pray in the name of Jesus. You got to do it when I tell you to. You got to be fully submitted to me and I can be under my control. That ain't scriptural. Anyone who chooses to oppress you in that way, anyone is not following God. Anyone. You have that authority because it was given to you by Jesus. Why follow someone who wants you submitted to them as if they are God, but they don't believe in the one true God wholeheartedly? We have to believe in the one true King. There is only one true King. He's the King. He is the King of kings and the Lord of. There is no other King. And we'd rather submit to man than submit to God? Who's on your pedestal? I don't put my wife there. I don't put my children there. I don't put no one else's word there. It is Jesus and Jesus alone that is there on that pedestal. And there's people who will get you in a fear if you don't put them and make them first in your life. It doesn't matter. I don't put my mama there. I didn't put my daddy there. I don't put my brothers there. God knows I don't put anyone else there. You have to put Jesus, you have to place him there first and foremost. This is what his word says. It's incorruptible. It's infallible. I'm not backing down from what he's saying and what he's spoken over me. It doesn't matter what so-and-so said over here. It doesn't matter what so-and-so said over there. I'm rolling with Jesus. You'll have society try to define who you are and tell you what you can and cannot do. I'm rolling with Jesus. My identity is in Christ, not in my crisis. So every now and then I will take victory laps, even if it ticks the devil off. I don't care. Because I love it. I love it. We have victory over that. We have victory over that. We have victory. If leaders stop commanding sickness to leave people's body, and they don't believe in healing and deliverance and restoring people anymore, leave. Leave that church. I said, people need to leave that church. Go to a place where the anointing flows and the people have compassion to help and heal others. Otherwise, why are you there? Just to serve that person who don't truly believe in God, who don't truly believe in the anointing, who don't truly believe in his word. They believe in their own word. Got to leave. If I get to that place to where I'm putting my agenda over the kingdom of God, leave. But the thing is, I know I won't, because I will always bring you back to Jesus, and I will always bring you back to this word. His word is first and foremost over our lives. Always. In verse 16, it says, so my friends, don't be fooled by your own desires. If your own desires cause you to want to sin, repent and change your mind. Turn away from it. Repentance is a good thing. Repent. Yeah, I'm going to change my mind on that one. I was going to eat that, but I changed my mind. I was going to stir up that drama over there, but I changed my mind. I was going to go here to this place, but I changed my mind. I'm turning from that. God sees that. Other people may not see it, but God sees it. And if people want to hijack your story to make it out to be something that it's not, let them. Because all they're doing is looking for attention. They have to talk about other people because their life is not interesting at all. Nobody wants to hear about their business. They want to hear about other people's business. Confess your sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all wrongdoing, all unrighteousness. In verse 17, it says, every gift God freely gives us is good and perfect, streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness and is never subject to change. There is no gift that God gives that aren't good. There's no gifts that he gives that isn't good. Every gift that God has given us is a perfect gift. Some people might say, I have a gift to do this and I have a gift to do that. But here's the thing. If that doesn't bless people and it just blesses you, it's not really a gift. Gifts bless other people. Some people have a gift to sing. They're anointed. It doesn't just bless them. It blesses others. Well, I got a gift to stir up trouble. That's not for them. That's for you. You're like a Tasmanian devil. Just going around stirring up drama everywhere else. That's a gift for you because you are insecure, you're traumatized, and then you have to stir up drama in everybody else's life. That's your curse, not a gift. That doesn't bless them. A gift will bless other people. Well, I've got the gift to gab. There are some people who do have a gift to gab. But your gift is a curse if you're gossiping. Your gift is a curse. What you have is a curse more so than a gift. There's people who bless. I mean, I'm talking about, I like, that's my preference. But there are some people who know so much of you and you will never know until you sit down and talk with them because they don't go around just talking about what they know. I like those conversations. Those are great conversations because they're so rewarding, so refreshing. It's like, man, I didn't know you knew that. Yeah. But they just don't go around announcing it. There's some people can't tell you what they know because they just, it was just a little game. You know this and this and this and this. And trying to make you feel this big because of all the stuff they know. That's not a gift. A gift will bless you. It'll build you up. It'll encourage you. We're still in the building up process. So we're going to build people up. But we're going to have to correct a few things. I wish he was here, but he's not. Our host from last week. He'll be here, though. And I'm going to reiterate this, too. Here's the problem with TikTok theology. The problem with TikTok theology is this TikTok. It doesn't come from the Word. And what I mean by this is, anybody ever play chess? I played chess. Played chess when I was sixth grade. I was able to do it. We had to, there's some teachers here, so I have to watch it. I hated doing book reports. And we had to do book reports. So I decided to do one on chess, how to play chess. But I didn't have to write it out, even though I had good handwriting and stuff. My teacher made me show her how to play chess after it was all said and done. But if you know anything about chess, here's the thing. The king has to be protected. But when you boil it down, the king is just a glorified pawn. Can't move anywhere. Here, it does a hokey pokey. That's it. And you have to protect it at all times. And even if the king is checkmate or checked, the move that it makes is not a move to attack, it's a move to survive. Because it can't go across the board like the queen or the bishop or the rook. It can't hop other spaces like the knight. And so the thing is that when people are saying that the king is checkmate and there's still one more move, you have to realize that is not a move to attack, it's a move to survive. It's got to go into hiding. It's got to be protected. That sounds like Jezebel. The queen is more powerful than the king. Because she can go everywhere. The king, not so much. Got to be protected. See, and here's the thing. There's two sides, right, in chess? So take it. It's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. In the kingdom of darkness, there's nothing but pawns. Can you imagine playing chess with just pawns? Now, the enemy walks around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he'll pose as a king and a queen and a bishop and a knight and a rook. But guess what? It can only move like a pawn. And it's there for disposal. It's there to attract you, to get you distracted so you can take that so they can make another move. It can't do much. But see, on the other side, you have the kingdom of light. You have your kings, your queens, your bishops, your knights, and your rooks. And then on the first row of that, you have your kings, your queens, your bishops, your knights, and your rooks, because there are no pawns, because you're not for disposal. You're a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. There are no pawns in the body of Christ. You are not for God's disposal. You are not there to be disposed of by the enemy. You are not a pawn. You're a king. You're a queen. And this is the thing. Who do you think is going to win that battle with just pawns on the other side? Jesus says the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the church. We are a united body. We don't come united because of fear of man. We come united because of the blood of Jesus. We come united because we do have a fear of the Lord. And even if the king has one more, that's not a true king. That's a burger king. And you got too many people serving a king that really isn't a king, a self-made king. All they're going to do is go into hiding. They go incognito. That's why they can't put stuff out and put their name on it. They can stir that stuff up and can't put their name on it. It's got to be anonymous. They're not a true king. Because there is no anonymous things in the body of Christ. Because Jesus told off the Pharisees. Stephen told off the Pharisees. Paul told off the Pharisees. It didn't matter. This is what you do. You come against that spirit of religion and you don't do it anonymously. You've got to put your name to it. I won't take letters from anyone who don't put a name. And then when you put your name, I'm going to read it. And I might even do like Fred Price and read it out to the church and then break it down for you. See, they don't want me to have that much control over the situation because they want it anonymous. Well, you know what I do? I just twist it up, go start a fire in my backyard. Here we go. Let's light her up. I don't give it any time, any attention. So when you're serving the one true king, he's never cornered. He's never got one last move. Those are peasants. Those are people posing as a true king, and they're not. They don't serve Jesus. They serve the devil. They don't serve God. Doesn't matter how much information that somebody can see and the amount of stuff that they can do and how tech savvy that they really are. It doesn't matter. Why? I got the Holy Spirit. See, I can start from a place of victory every single day. They have to start from a place of defeat, which is why they're constantly trying to be the comeback kid. God doesn't want you coming back because you already got the victory every single day. Doesn't matter what situation you're going through. Every single day you start out from victory. You're not fighting for victory. And people who are fighting for victory, they've lost their identity. Because it's going to be selfish. I guarantee you, 10 times out of 10, they will be operating out of Proverbs 6, 12 through 19. Because they have to get what they want. They're fighting for victory, not from victory. It's already a finished work. So when you have enemies that come against you, it's already a done deal. The Lord fights your battles. You just have to put on your gear and stand firm. Stand firm against the enemy. Stand firm against the wiles of the devil. Stand firm. That's why I loved exposing the enemy's schemes. It's the same junk. People think you forget. 5 years later, they think you forget. No, I remember. 5 years, you're doing the same thing 5 years ago. That's all. We serve the one true king. And he doesn't back down from anyone. Where's my phone? Daniel and his friends, when King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel didn't back down. Daniel served the one true God, had a relationship with him. He didn't back down from what King Nebuchadnezzar appointed king. And God is the one who can take down one and set one up and take down another. But that king did not acknowledge God, the Father. And the thing about it is that when it came to Daniel, he didn't back down. He was a teenager, and he didn't back down from that. And when people tried to trap him, he stayed. When they said he couldn't pray to his God, he went to the room and opened up the doors and said, watch this. He didn't back down. And see, and that's the thing. It's like when you're going through certain things right now and people want you to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar, the golden statue, this could be our golden statue right here. And I've yet to see anyone say, I've seen a lot of people say, this could be an idol in your life. This could be a major distraction. But they're pulling it out of their pocket, so apparently it's a distraction from them too. I've yet to see them say, let me see your phone. And do this. Because why? They don't have one. You know what I'm saying? They're always pulling it out of their pocket. Or, better yet, stay off of TikTok. TikTok is wrong. And then they're over here. TikTok can lead you down the wrong road. Guess what? They're over there doing a TikTok. The new TikTok dancing. Okay. Stay off of podcasts. You shouldn't be listening to podcasts and stuff. All these podcast people just going around just doing listening to podcasts. I've said that, but have you seen me on a podcast? Have you seen me on a podcast? Please tell me no. You haven't seen me on a podcast. But guess what? I've seen them on a podcast that said, don't do it. The Apostle Paul said, you who tell people not to do it, do you do it? Don't go to the conferences. People are going to conferences just to get a word from the Lord. Next week, they're at a conference. It's crazy. See, the thing is that when you are a vessel for God, you're not going to contradict what you've been saying. When you're a true vessel for God, when you're a puppet for people, you will contradict yourself all the time. Because you're telling people not to do something, and then you're over here, wait a minute, you just did that 2 weeks ago. That's why you should always stick with God. I know, I said, I see so much, and I probably need to stay off of that. But I'm going to keep on, because I like to be nosy. That's why. If you're putting it out there, I'm going to watch it. Verse 18, it says, God was delighted to give us birth by the truth of his infallible word so that we would fulfill his chosen destiny for us and become the favorite ones out of all his creation. You have been born again by the infallible and incorruptible word of God so that you would fulfill his chosen destiny for you. Man didn't die for you. Man didn't choose your destiny. Man can't tell you what to do. You could be walking a path and someone just, well, they won't listen to anybody. They need to be accountable. Well, where's that accountability leading to? Their destiny or your destiny for them? That's the difference. Some people want to lead you down the wrong path so they can just step right on in and do what they want to do in your life. God was delighted. Verse 19, it says, my dearest brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen. Quick to listen. That's why you got two ears and one mouth. Slow to speak and be slow to become angry. If there's a lesson that needs to be learned right here, it's not listening to any voice, but it's listening to God's voice. Not every voice, even if it's a born-again believer, is the voice of God for your life. The voice of God for my life is God. I heard people use that expression. Well, they're the voice of God for your life. No, they're not. God is. I have my own relationship. I don't depend on somebody else's voice. I don't depend on somebody else's discernment for my life. I really don't. Why? That means that I'm not discerning. I had somebody come up to me in conference one time, a couple years ago, saying, God misses the old you, the old Tim. I knew that was a lie. I just smiled and just, okay, thank you. I appreciate it. I knew that was wrong. Why? Because when you go through the fire, you're not supposed to go back. What God has for you there, that's where you're going to be. That's where you're going to end up. They were wanting me to go back. See, that wasn't of God. That was their own stuff. That was a puppet. And they could be from the closest friends, but they're just leading you down the wrong path. See, I can't be manipulated anymore. I can't be played on anymore. I know things that God has shown me, opened up to me, revealed to me, and I get up here and I preach on it. And then people don't like it, but I'm going to preach on it more because I'm a vessel for God. I'm not a puppet. And I'm going to continue to be a vessel for God. My dearest brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. And be slow to become angry. See, he didn't say don't be angry. There's a righteous anger. Now, you shouldn't be angry at a brother for no reason. You shouldn't be angry at a sister in Christ for no reason. Why do you hate that individual? Why are you angry towards that individual? Well, I don't know. They just make me angry. That's wrong. That's wrong. But if there was some type of conflict or what have you, or something that was going on in your own personal life and they did, it's okay to be angry in that sense, but don't sin. Okay? Don't start plotting against them and try to get revenge. Leave it to God. You set your boundary. You tell them what it is. Yeah, I didn't like when you did that. I didn't like when you said that. Or you don't have to say anything at all and just walk away. But don't allow them to do it again. Slow to speak. That means you're listening for the voice of God. You're listening for the Holy Spirit. Some people will tell you, in Luke 12, it tells you not to defend yourself. But at the same time, it says, just wait on the Holy Spirit, basically. Do it by the wisdom of God. And then you can speak because the Holy Spirit will give you what to say when these accusations are coming against you. So don't just go around defending yourself. Wait on the Holy Spirit and then he'll give you what to say. The Holy Spirit is, he can make you look smart. He can make you look confident. He can help you. He's your comforter. He is your advocate. He is your counselor. Talk to him. Day and night, you can talk to him all day long. I talk to the Holy Spirit quite a bit. And he can show me things to come. I don't have to steal information from people. You know, can you imagine that, being a ministry? And then being a ministry in a place, and then people are giving your tithe, their tithes and offerings, and then you're going to use some of that tithe and offerings just to buy equipment and stuff and hire people to spy right back on you to find out what you're doing. That's crazy. That person needs to be tied to a pole and prayed for. But think about this. You have the Holy Spirit. You have those giftings. Lord, show me who's for me. Show me who's against me. You are the one true King, Jesus, and I serve you, and I serve you alone. Don't need all of that other stuff. I don't need the extra stuff. I don't have to cause Richard to sin. Hey, Richard, can you go out and get some information for me? Can you go out and check this and go out and do this? I don't have to do why. Richard's got a life. Those are my insecurities. I can just ask the Holy Spirit. You can just ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, who's for me? Is this person really, really for me, or are they against me? Just ask, and he'll tell you. And here's the thing, when you do it, just do it out of love. Quit bothering other people to go out and do the dirt that you want to do. Let God, if you belong to Jesus, if you belong to God, if you serve the one true King, here's the thing. He says, vengeance is mine. Don't go out and get revenge. I have decided not to get revenge. And I'm more at peace. I love the fact that I can talk with the Lord and just have a relationship with him. Not be bombarded with thoughts that are impure, that want to take people out. I don't have to do all that anymore. Be slow to become angry. Jesus was angry, and in his anger, he did not sin. So it's okay to be angry. Some people don't want you to be angry because they just much rather you be passive in your faith. They don't want you to say anything. It's okay to say something. They may not like it. If it triggers them, if a person gets triggered, it's because they triggered themselves. It's not you who triggered them. You could say hi, and it would trigger somebody. You ever say the wrong thing? It's not really you saying the wrong thing. It's just you saying a thing because it was maybe the 15th time they heard it that day. And that just set them off. So it wasn't you who triggered them. They triggered themselves. We trigger ourselves. That's why we have to stay connected to the vine. We have to stay connected to Jesus. He's the one true King that we serve because he never fails us. Jesus has never failed us, not one time. The Holy Spirit has never failed us. Why put your dependency upon man? Put it up on Jesus. Proverbs 16:32 says this, do you want to be a mighty warrior? It's better to be known as one who is patient and slow to anger. Do you want to conquer a city? Rule over your temper before you attempt to rule a city. I didn't give you that scripture, did I? Figures. In verse 20, it says, for human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose. It's an emotion, but you cannot allow it to govern your faith in Jesus. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the next thing is, who are we pleasing? Are we pleasing God? Are we pleasing man? Are we pleasing Satan? If you please God, everything else will fall in line. You'll be pleasing other people if you please God. But if you please man, and you put God down here, it'll jack everything up in your life. If you put your husband before you do your own relationship with God, it'll jack everything up in your marriage. If you put your mom and your dad over your marriage, it'll jack everything up in your marriage. You have to place your relationship with God first. Both of your spouses, you have to do that. I don't put my mom over my wife. I love my mom. I just talk to her once a week. That's about it. Sometimes it's 5 minutes. Sometimes it's 30. She feel like chatting. But I don't put my mom over my wife. I don't put my kids over my wife. I don't put this job, this position over my wife. I place God over my wife, my relationship with him. Because Lord knows I need him to deal with. No. Matthew 28 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. All authority has been given to who? Jesus. And who did Jesus give that to? Us. You can't get that from Satan. You can't get that from man. So why you fear man? They do not own your soul. And what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose their soul? Go and make disciples. The name which is above all names, in heaven, on earth, and check this out, even under the earth. That's who you serve. You serve a mighty king. You serve a mighty warrior. You serve the one true God, the one true king, the God who was the Word and the Word became flesh. That's who you serve. And you do all things as you would unto the Lord. But if people, including myself and anybody in leadership, isn't submitted to God, you don't have to listen to what they're saying. They got to be submitted. I'm submitted. I'm committed. Get your husband submitted. Get your wife submitted. Submit to the one true king. That's who he is. He can never be cornered. He doesn't go around doing the hokey pokey. We start from the place of victory, not from defeat, and we're trying to make a comeback every time. Every single time, we got to make a comeback. Every single time, it's got to be this. Every single time, we got to, it's like you're down. How many times are you going to be down and out? When are you just going to accept what Jesus has done for you? And the thing about it is that people will go around creating problems in more people's lives. Say you add a negative two in your problems. They'll come and give you a negative five. So you down negative seven. And then they'll come and take that negative five away and then act like they were the king. No, you just got out of the way. You didn't do anything. I still got the same problems. But they'll make themselves out to be the hero, but yet they were just the villain in your own life. See, Jesus doesn't do that. When we serve the one true king, he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. He has became a curse for us. He fulfilled the law and took that curse away from your life. So there is no other name that I will serve but Jesus. And I'll stand on that. You can take that to the bank. No more TikTok theology. I watch TikTok. We send ourselves, we send each other funny reels all the time. There's some people out there with great talent and they're funny. And then I have some that the preachers are on there and stuff. Those algorithms can get anyone, in a sense. But I love the algorithms I have because I got recipes, I got preachers, I got funny reels, I got my sports. Love it. So it doesn't matter how much information somebody can get. Do you have the character in order to keep that information? Do you have the integrity to be able to do what's right with that information? Because if you can't, then you can't really have a true relationship with Jesus. Because if he can't share you the true riches of the kingdom because of what you're going to do with it. That's why it talks about false teachers. They will add misery to your lives. They will use scripture in order to basically have their way in your life and keep you in bondage, enslaved. Ooh. We serve the one true king. I don't mind being a slave for Jesus. I ain't going to be a slave for nobody else. I'll serve. But I'll be a slave for Jesus. Because he won't put anything ill-fitting on us. Anything. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So if you feel a heaviness coming from anyone and anywhere in that sense, that's not from God. Even on one-on-one situations that you may have with others, that is not from God. You don't have to submit to it. So if they can't handle the word no, tough. That's on them. That's their life. That's how they were raised. That's how they were told. If you can't take no for an answer, go be a salesman. But sometimes people are going to give you no, especially in the body of Christ. I say no all the time. I'm only going to do what I believe the Lord is leading me to do. And if this isn't it, in that sense, that go. I'm doing interviews for FCF right now for new people coming in and stuff. I'll do that, and I have to go off a script. I don't mind doing that. I was asked. I said, yeah, sure. Why? Because God already put it on my heart to start doing a little more. So I said, yeah. Otherwise, I would have said, no, I'm good. I pray about everything. So if the Lord is already telling me, somebody comes and tells me, it's a quick answer. If not, I'm going to pray about it. And then sometimes people don't like the answer, but I got to say no. Because it doesn't benefit me and my family and his kingdom. It's okay to say no. But it's better to say yes to his promises. Yes to his will. Do that first. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to do? Lord, I want to be able to hear your voice more. Clear. What have you called me to do, Lord? What's the next chapter of my life? Some of y'all don't know, I was getting ready to leave in 2019. I was getting ready to quit ministry. Be done. I'm out. And I heard the Holy Spirit, this is when I was in St. Louis, he said, stay. Yes, sir. He didn't say it was going to be easy, but he did just say, stay. And I got that confirmed from several other people. Stay. Yes, sir. I'll do that. It's been very beneficial for me. I love it. But I love him more. See, it's kind of like the David thing. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Saul was saying, don't take your kingdom from me. It was more about the position rather than about the relationship. See, if you were to lose everything today, would you be able to say, Lord, I still trust you. I'll still serve you. I'll still love you. If this nation was to just go kaput, are you still going to serve God? If not, even more fiercely. Why? Because he hasn't fallen off his throne. He is still the one who could set one up and take down another. I'm thankful for this nation. I'm thankful for the president who don't back down. You gonna make threats? We got something for that. God forbid you have somebody that puts this nation first. How dare you put your own citizens first? You got to take care of your own so that you can take care of others. Some people may not like that. Think I care? I don't. I really don't. I really don't care if they don't like that. I said, because it gets to the place to where right is right, wrong is wrong. Evil is evil. And even all the human trafficking that we're doing and stuff, I said, people don't like ICE, but you know, it's quite a few thousand people that has been saved. Children. That has been saved because of it. If we have a nation, our nation, that was founded upon Christian principles and the word, in our own nation, we're having people trying to steal and hurt and kill young children. And even just each other. In the streets in Chicago, all the shooting and stuff. I got one word for you, Jesus. But here's the thing. I got another word for you. Military. You want to carry a gun? Military. You don't need no permission slips. Just get them at night and drag them out of the house and sign them up for military. You can serve your country well. You get to earn to own a gun, to hold a gun. And then you're going to have a newfound love for your nation. Because I guarantee you, they'll break you. Put them in the military. No need to have a draft. Put them in the military. You want a gangbang? Military. You want to act like you're in the mafia? Military. Go join the biggest gang there, right? Military. And see, and you won't have to die in disgrace in the streets. And if you do serve your country well, and you happen to lose your life while fighting, you will have an honorable service. And that will bless your family, because it could have been worse. You got so much killing out there. It's crazy. We need a move of God. And yet he says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh in these last days. I guess we just have to start acting on it. So when it comes to Matthew 28:19, go out into the world and preach the gospel. When you go to the store, go out into the world and preach the gospel. Go out and share the gospel. Share the good news of Jesus Christ wherever you're going. I was thinking about some type of outreach for Easter. Just go out and share. Go out and share the gospel. Go out and show the gospel. Live it. Demonstrate it in your own lives. Go out. You don't have to invite. If you're doing it, people will follow you. You don't have to set traps. You don't have to cover people's mouth with chloroform. Go out and just share the good news of Jesus Christ. Love on somebody. Encourage them, bless them. Go out and do those things. Amen? Do I have one more scripture on there, Carrie? Did I have one more? What is that one? Yes. Well, no, you're fine. We'll close. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. It is a great thing for all of us to repent. Just change your mind. Turn from that. From which is evil. Amen. Father God, we thank you for everyone here. Lord, we thank you for the hearts. We thank you for the ones that aren't here, Lord, that you're working in their life. And as we continuously, every single day, we can serve the one true King. We don't have to fight for victory anymore, Lord. That's old days. We're fighting from victory because you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and we are overcomers in this world because you are an overcomer, Lord. And we thank you that we place our faith in you. And Father, I just thank you for the lives of people who are traveling over the roads this week, Lord. Protect them and bring them home safe. And we pray for our military, and we pray for the wisdom that you are giving President Trump and the people that you have surrounded him with. That you are guiding him and leading him into all truth. And that they stay committed to who you truly are and what your word says. And Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.